So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
This is a week for bagpipes, plaid, and kilts.
Like, they're all plaid.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Does Chuck mean plaid?
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back. It's Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan. I have to say something.
Say it. Say it, baby. Say it.
I want to say something, and I have to. Listen very closely.
I am.
Huddle up to your radio.
Gather around.
If you're in your car,
use our quiet voice.
Turn it up really loud. And I'm not kidding about this. Next week is a very big week on The Fan.
You say that a lot.
And I'm not just talking about Big Ten Media Day, okay? A lot of people are saying.
A lot of people talking.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
The Fan has diarrhea?
So I'm just saying.
You're saying, but you're not saying.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
You're saying. So maybe tune in.
So we are talking about blue chip ratio, something called blue chip ratio. Very simple percentage. 4 or 5 star recruits has to be over 50% over 2 to 3 star recruits. Over a four-year recruiting cycle. Very simple. Percentage is over 50%. You are in the window to win a championship. This has held true for every champion of the modern era. And there are 18 schools this year that qualify. Now, I will say, as I mentioned previously, transfers are a bigger deal now in college football than they used to be, obviously. Sure. So he also did one that adds in transfers. And basically, everybody kind of goes down in percentage because transfers, I mean, they're generally not blue chip recruits. They are role players, depth or system fits, right? So pretty much everyone goes down, but it's the same 18 schools that are over 50%. Even if you add in transfers. So it's not worth going into those percentages, but just know that they are a little bit lower for each school. Like, well, actually, Oregon has a lot of good transfers. So they're at, what did I say Oregon was at? 78%. They're now with transfers only 73%.
Sure.
So it's a marginal difference.
Yeah.
So,
but the thing is, like, the Hughes, the running back they got from Tulane, who is the best running back arguably in the country.
I think he was the best available in the portal for sure.
Oh, hands down. And you could make a case that he is the best back in America. And he wouldn't have been a 4 or 5 star kid. So this is where that ratio is a little funky, is that adding him probably takes your ratio down. And that's foolish because there wasn't a school in the country, including Alabama or LSU or anyone, that didn't want this kid.
But some of the time, I think now they re-rank these kids when they hit the portal. So maybe there's a way to alter the formula now. But the transfer portal is so new, we just don't have enough data.
Yeah, we do have now, we have a recruiting star ranking for
the portal itself.
For the portal itself.
And the players in it, yeah.
So the 18 schools that are above 50%, they are in the window to win a championship this coming season are Florida State, Tennessee, Clemson, USC, Michigan, Auburn. I want to talk about USC in our next segment, too, by the way. Remind me to...
It's a big year for USC.
It is a big year. They've made a lot of changes.
They have. And it's kind of a prove-it year. And it's also a bit of a year that I feel is open in the Big Ten because the two big dogs... Well, let's even go three because Michigan last year was down. They're going to play a true freshman quarterback. Oregon has a lot of question marks. Ohio State has question marks. Penn State brings back a lot. But if you're SC, it feels like this is an opportunity for you to jump up and get back in the mix. And if you don't do it this year, some of those whispers about Lincoln Riley's jobs are going to start to become shouts.
The others are Michigan, Auburn, Florida, Miami, Penn State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, LSU, Texas, Oregon, Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. With, if you missed our last segment, Alabama and Ohio State have the best percentage at 89%, which is like really effing good.
Yeah.
Okay. So based off of that, and I have the odds here.
Okay.
Who do you think is a good flyer championship bet?
Well, Penn State's not going to be a flyer, I'm assuming.
They have, okay, so let me just give you the odds.
Yeah.
Just of the top teams. Ohio State, I'm just, odds vary based on where you look. Sure, this is ESPN bet.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Ohio State is plus 550.
Yeah.
Texas is plus 550. Yeah. Penn State is plus 650.
Okay, so that's not a flyer.
Georgia is plus 800, and Clemson is plus 900.
So Clemson's interesting, because again, I didn't know if that was considered a flyer. The thing that Clemson has going for it, you notice that there's not a single Big 12 team in this, by the way.
By the way, yeah, he talks about that in this article. He said not one Big 12 team even sniffs the 50% ratio.
So if there was a team, when I was kind of going through, I looked up the list, the and if you would have had any Big 12 team, I would have said that. Because the path to get there is half the battle. And Clemson and Florida State, and I don't buy Florida State. I think Norvell got exposed last year. He kind of pulled a...
He went 2-10.
Well, he pulled a... who's the disgraced Michigan State coach?
Mark D'Antonio?
No. They got caught up in the sex scandal. Why can't I think
of his name?
Oh,
Mel
Tucker. Mel Tucker.
Yeah,
right. We see this where you bring in an S ton of transfers, and it, for a year, it looks really good. I think Florida State got exposed. I think Norvell, I'm not buying it. So I take them out, and that leaves Clemson. Clemson in the ACC, who, by the way, Clemson struggled for much of last year to find an identity, but they got it to get through the end of the year. You play in the ACC. Next thing you know, you're going to be in the playoff. Clemson's going to be in the playoff, and they bring back Klubnik. So that's where I was going, but that's not a sleeper. So if you want to say playoffs. Sleeper or a dark horse, I've got two that I think that are going to be deep odds that I think are worth. If you want to go through, or do you want me to just say what they
no,
are?
No, I'm going to hear what you get.
I think Florida and Texas A&M are worth, what are their odds?
So both of those schools are plus 4,000.
There you go.
Woo, 40-1.
Wow.
That's nice ticket.
That's where to go with this. You know,
Florida's quarterback?
They got
DJ Lagway.
Yeah, okay.
Who, by the way, is a really fun, exciting player.
Yep.
And Napier had, like, he saved his job last year.
He had the hardest job in the country.
And they held it together. And he got a couple of his best O linemen and best D linemen to come back. They were very good in the transfer portal. They have a very young, athletic quarterback that should be getting better. And you look at Florida, right? Last year started off horrible. They got blown out by Miami, but they put together a good year. And they ended up at the end beating LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State to finish it out. Now, against Georgia, it was close for a little bit. They got stretched away. Texas beat them up. But that gap started to close a little bit. And another year of recruiting, another year of belief, and they get like Texas and Tennessee at home. Florida has, and by the way, again, in the SEC, you're going to get four teams into the playoff. I think Florida can get into the dance. And when you get into the dance, and if you've got an athletic quarterback, you've got a puncher's chance in this thing. So I think that one, to me, at that odd, those odds are worth a flyer. And I think A&M's another one that's worth taking a flyer on, and that you have a young athletic quarterback who showed promise in Marcel Reed, another year with Mike Elko, who I think is a really, really good coach. And let's also not forget, they just needed to win one of their final three conference games, and they would have played in the SEC title game. Now, that didn't work. They stubbed their toe against South Carolina. They lost to Auburn, for God's sakes, in overtime. And then Texas, and we all were in love with Texas, that was a 17-7 game. Right? And so I get another year. They killed it in the transfer portal. They've got all new receiving cores, including one of the best and a five-star kid coming in. They just need to play some semblance of defense. And A&M is another one of the, what's A&M's odds?
Well, like I said, they're both plus 4,000.
Both. And then I'll look at their schedule. So they got Texas, San Antonio, Utah State at Notre Dame, which they played last year and lost. Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, Arkansas, LSU, Missouri, South Carolina. So they miss Georgia. They miss Bama. You know, and you can lose two games, maybe even three in the SEC. and still get in the dance. So at those odds, give me A&M and Florida as long shot flyers to be a team that at the end of the year is playing dangerous and see what happens.
I'll give you a long shot that's at those same odds, plus 4,000. They have a quarterback who has won a college football championship. Miami.
Yeah, I just don't believe it.
I know you don't.
I don't believe in Cristobal.
Between Beck and Cristobal, I can't do it.
Here's the thing about Cristobal. He is, I totally get, and all of the criticism of him is warranted. I get the criticism. At the same time, he's really good.
Yeah, like, he wins.
Look, I get it. He had the game where he failed to kneel.
I think Central Florida, maybe they lost him.
And that's, I mean, that's so bad that he deserves to be raked over the coals for that. I feel like Cristobal, first of all, he won the Rose Bowl at Oregon.
Yeah.
Which is no.
No.
I know Dan Lanning's kind of putting him to shame now, but that's no small feat. Like, he's good.
Yeah. And we just rolled, brother.
The thing about him is I think he's learned. I actually think he has the awareness to, because their offense is really good now.
He did unneuter the offense.
He did, and he got it. He brought in a quarterback who's got a lot of experience, who won a championship. And in the ACC, the ACC is a cupcake conference. So I think they're going to be in the tournament. So what I think at plus 4,000, I think that's a bet that depending on their draw in the tournament, you could easily hedge out of that and make money in the second round of the tournament.
You're right, because of the, you know, I went with Clemson, even though Clemson's not a long shot because they play in the ACC, and Miami was a game away last year.
Well, I like Klubnik and I like Clemson, but they're plus 900.
Yeah.
We're talking about teams that you're going to get way more bang for your buck. We're talking about value. Yep. And I think Miami is a good value bet this year to take it deep.
And I believe Miami ended up one game shy because I want to say they were the third team out. They were right there. And so another year, and again, maybe you get Carson Beck to have a bounce back year after a shaky year at Georgia, and you play in a weak conference. It's a valid point because schedule comes down to it so much. Is it doesn't matter like your quality wins; it just matters how many losses you have. I mean, if you're a two loss team and you're Miami, you're gonna get in the dance.
Exactly. Okay, blue chip schedule ratio right there. Kind of cool. I don't know. Very simple, but something to wet your whistle for the upcoming college football season. Let's keep it going. USC. Now their odds are plus 10,000. However, they are on the list of teams that have the ratio to win the championship.
But yeah, I was looking at Miami's schedule. That's again, knowing you can lose two games,
they're going to be fine.
They're going to be fine.
Okay, so USC is plus 10,000, but they are on the list of the 18 schools in the window. What are their chances, and what has been going on down there with what's-his-nuts? Who's their coach?
Lincoln Riley.
What's-his-nuts?
Lincoln Riley.
Well,
man.
Done, brisket Lincoln Riley.
A lot of changes. Let's talk. We haven't talked much about the Trojans.
No, we have not.
Of course, it's early, but let's talk about some of the changes they've made and if they might rise up this year. We will get to that next on The Fan. All right, we're talking some college football here for you guys out there. We're heading towards In the News, ITN, your noted newsman, getting suited up in the green room. That's me, by the way.
Stretching out?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to little some deep lunges.
I'm going to Stretch Zone tomorrow.
Going to what?
They have something called Stretch Zone.
Oh, I thought you said Strep Zone.
No.
Yeah, I've been to Stretch
Zone. Have you?
Yeah. I think they've...
what do you think?
They've been with the station before,
right? Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah.
I think so.
Is it good?
Yeah. You go there and you get on a table and they kind of strap you in and someone...
Right.
Well, not all the time, but there's some stretches where they can... that they'll strap parts of your body in so they can better stretch.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like 30 to 45 minutes and you will feel good. Yeah.
Good.
I've done that maybe 3-4 times, especially like if my back is kind of wonky. They do a real nice job.
Nice. Well, I got a little gift card for my birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in there and get all stretched out.
I think you will enjoy the Stretch Zone.
So, talking about college football.
It's college football. It's Division One. It's not the Big 12 because it's the Big 12.
So interesting to note that USC was among the 18 in the blue chip ratio. So they, it was like, what, 55%, 54%, something like that?
Yeah.
Now, Lincoln Riley started 11-1 at USC. Mm-hmm. He has since gone 15-13.
Yeah. Well, he came in with gangbusters to Caleb Williams, then then won the Heisman. Then the next year with Caleb Williams was... And then since then, obviously, it was quite rocky and they played no defense.
Now, I don't know what you think about this kid they have now at quarterback, but...
He went 3-1 to finish the season. So I think they're optimistic. And the loss against Notre Dame wasn't really on him. They scored 35 points. They just gave up 49. It's the Polynesian kid.
I forget his name.
It's Mali. Oh, God, the Polynesian names are killers for me.
I'm just gonna lay out.
No, let me get it. It's Jaden.
Maiava.
Maiava, which I'm sure I'm not saying that right, but he replaced Miller Moss because Miller Moss came into the year with a lot of expectations and he wasn't very good. And so he got sat down. And so they feel very good. They say there's no quarterback competition. He's the guy. And I can make, now I will need USC to prove it, but I could make a very strong case that what were USC's odds?
They were plus 10,000.
I don't know about winning a national title, but to make the playoff, I could make a strong case for USC making the playoff.
So they hire, so Lincoln Riley has made a lot of changes.
Yes.
They hired the top two recruiting staffers.
Yes.
From Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So they stole those two guys.
And Notre Dame has been gangbusters in recruiting the last couple of years.
They also stole the top personnel execs from Wisconsin and Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And their new defensive coordinator last year was stolen from UCLA. They also have a new strength coach. And recruiting is going really well.
By the way, that new defensive coordinator, even though it wasn't great, it went from 35 points a game to, I believe it was 24 points a game.
Yeah, they were much better.
Much, much better.
And recruiting's going well. You know, classes can fall apart instantly now.
Sure.
But they are jumping up recruiting rankings. They're getting a lot of commits. So... dare I ask, is USC football back?
I don't know if they're back, but again, let me make the case. So much in college football is obviously with the transfer portal, you get a lot of kids that come in. And so the idea of returning starters, you know, sometimes that's a bit overblown. But especially on the defensive side of the ball where there were big jumps made, they only have two new guys coming into this defense. So it is a senior-laden, senior-junior upperclassman defense that made a big jump. When you take 10 points per game off the board, you've done a really nice job as a first-year defensive coordinator. So you should make the argument, and they're all talking about how the strength and conditioning coach has made everyone better, and everyone says that, but... you would think that year two with largely the same cast, that defense is not going to make a 10-point jump. But if you go from 35 to 24, is it unreasonable to think that USC gets 3 to 4 points better on defense, right? And you start looking at USC's season last year. What's the thing we talk about in the NFL that if you want to find a team to either fade or to be bullish on, what do we always talk about in the NFL? Find people that lose close games, right? If you win a bunch of close games, you're going to regress. And if you lose a bunch of close games, chances are those are going to go the other way. So we look at USC's season last year and we're like, man, that thing was a disaster. Was it? You lost to Michigan 27-24. And if you remember, they had no business losing that game. They were winning that game. And all they had to do was keep Michigan from driving the length of the field. And Michigan couldn't throw the ball. One bad missed tackle. Oops, and then Moss threw the interception. No reason they should have lost to Michigan. Lost a one-score game to Minnesota that they shouldn't lost. Lost to Penn State, who ended up in the college football playoff, in overtime, 33-30. Lost a one-point game to Maryland, 28-29. Shouldn't have lost that game. Lost to Washington, 26-21. Washington wasn't very good. Again, USC is looking at that being like, how the hell did we lose that game? And then Notre Dame, you scored 35, but you gave up 49. You get one score better in that, and you have a completely different outlook for USC going into the season. So with a returning quarterback that you're pretty bullish on, a defense that you think is going to continue to take steps, and if you believe that Lincoln Riley is at least some form of the Lincoln Riley we saw at Oklahoma, I think you can make a very, very strong case that a surprise team that we should be talking about is USC, and let's look at their schedule. Missouri State, Georgia Southern, Purdue, Michigan State, at Illinois, which maybe something in Illinois, and then Michigan. USC will probably be favored in every one of those games.
6-0.
6-0. And if they're 6-0, and then guess what is week 7 after a bye? They're on the road at
Notre Dame.
So just keep an eye on October 18th on the road to Notre Dame. That could be a monster game. And then let's say they even lose that. Then they're on the road at Nebraska, whatever, Northwestern, Iowa, and then they're on the road at Oregon. This could, with another year of improvement with a returning quarterback, and the defense takes the next step, you could lose your two toughest games on the road at Notre Dame, on the road at Oregon, and still be okay. So, and this is obviously best case scenario, but I do think that if you're dismissing USC, dismiss them at your own peril, because the schedule is favorable. Even though your two toughest games are on the road, you don't need to win those, or even if you got a split. And I just think there's a lot of positive momentum right now in that USC program if you believe in Lincoln Riley. And if you don't, then, you know, none of it matters.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for In the News. We have more love for PDX. And we're going to check in on how it's going down in Lake Oswego with the...
the water battles?
Yeah, they're letting the pores in there now.
They're not happy about it.
So that's next. Here's Buck.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
All right. Welcome back to our show. Friday. Big Friday. No Joey next hour. He's ducking us tonight. So we're going to do something called text thread, okay?
You rarely have good questions.
You ready for text thread?
I am.
It's going to be, we want you to text your questions, life, sports, or otherwise, to our text line, and we'll hit those at 5:30. Be a fun little Friday bit. The number is 503-864-6326.
And we answer them as Joey Harrington.
Whoa.
I have to be very thoughtful. I have to, hold on. I got to take a 10-second pause.
Some very pensive pause.
He does. He likes to think. Yeah. He does take a nice... That is
He's a well-thought-out man, and I appreciate
pause.
That.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't answer... He doesn't take answers lightly. He doesn't... No. He's not coach-speak guy.
There are many times we are talking to him, and I'm afraid that we have dropped his call.
Yeah.
Or gone off the air.
Because he's pausing.
Yeah.
Like Jim Rome.
Deep in thought.
It is July 18, 2025. It is time for In the News! I am your noted, humble, sexy, lovable... Brilliant newsman.
Humble, the biggest part of that.
Yeah, pretty obvious, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Caviar Day. Do you like fish eggs?
I do not. My mom, being Swedish, she loved them, and we would have them around the house, and I could never do it. And then the time I got to go to that event at that, was it, is it, what's the golf course in Jersey that's the super exclusive one?
You were at
it's the Augusta, Georgia.
Pine Valley.
They supposedly had the most expensive caviar, and we're like,
really?
Yeah. They're like, you have to try this. This is the best in the world. And it was some ridiculous price. I got to tell you.
You had it?
Yeah. I just don't get it.
Well,
they tried to tell me how much it was for like this little tin of it. And so I realized that I had like a couple hundred dollars like on a cracker, and it is terrible.
What do they do to the eggs? I don't understand.
It's the type of egg.
Oh, is it
how rare they are?
Yes.
Okay.
It comes from a certain fish. And
okay.
So my mom being just my mom, she would have caviar out of a tube. She would literally squeeze it out of a tube. And I was like, that is so gross. I'm not going to lie. It didn't taste much different than the most ridiculous expensive one at the snootiest country club. I'm convinced rich people do S just to...
You should have sent it back.
Well, it was like the little hors d'oeuvre like plate.
I don't like it. I'm not paying.
Well, you should have flipped your tray over then. It's like, what is this? You're serving this?
Oh, and believe me, they tell you. Like, anytime someone tells you how much something costs when they're giving it to you, I'm like...
It's about to be underwhelming.
Wait, just
wait a minute. So they come out with a tray,
yes.
Probably somebody with a bow tie.
Yes.
and they say, would you like some caviar? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a hot.
It was a hot.
You want some caviar? And then she says, yeah, it's really expensive. Here's how much we pay for it.
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, God.
They were selling us on, you have to have this. And I, in my mind, I was like, well, the only caviar I've ever had is my mom's crappy caviar.
So I'll try some real caviar.
Yeah.
And I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
And you were not.
No, I was not. This is terrible.
Well, for those of you who love caviar, today's your day. It is also Perfect Family Day. Do you have a perfect family?
I don't talk to mine, so no. I love my like direct family. Does that count? But perfect? I had a meltdown over an Egg McMuffin in a drive-thru. I'm pretty sure that that ruins the perfect family
game. I just cut a new promo about it.
So if I'm the patriarch of the family and I can't handle a McDonald's mobile app order, something tells me that we're not exactly perfect.
PDX has earned yet another huge...
We're back on top.
...award.
We're back, baby.
This one is particularly prestigious.
The caviar of airport awards?
Or is it prestigious?
I like prestigious. I don't know if that's correct, but I like the way it sounds.
Me neither. The Portland International Airport included on the 2025 World's Most Beautiful Airports list, compiled by the Prix Versailles, an organization that hands out a series of international architectural awards.
Okay, I've never heard of
you
them.
You don't seem impressed.
Well, what are we number one?
I was expecting.
Well, I mean,
more.
Well, what?
While some of us may feel jaded about the many, many, many best of lists released these days, this one is different. It isn't another one of those dubious studies created by an online casino or a German rental car company. It's the Prix Versailles, founded in 2015. These awards are handed out annually.
I feel like you're doing the caviar thing. You're selling me on something.
Again, that's supposed to mean something, and it means nothing to me.
I'm just reading
it. I don't know what it means.
And they are handed out annually at the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. They recognize exceptional architecture and design in a variety of categories, highlighting the primary role of the laureates in beautifying and improving the living environment. My God,
yeah. They
need some of your pretentious caviar.
Seriously.
This year's World's Most Beautiful Airports list featured 6 laureates. Of those, 3 will receive a world title to be announced in December.
Yeah,
you want the list, don't you?
Yeah, just give me the damn
list.
Where are we at? Are we number
one? I don't know. Hold on.
What city can I lord this over? Suck it, Salt Lake. I don't know. They're going to get baseball, but do we have a better airport?
In its presentation of the laureates, the Prix Versailles lauded the Portland International Airport's main terminal, which opened in 2024 and immediately began turning heads with its wood-beamed ceilings, live trees, and new dining and retail options. Judges heaped praise on the terminal, calling it a resplendently staged renovation that is both sustainable and functional, with caviar, with elements that create a calming, immersive experience for travelers. Okay. Have you heard enough?
Where do we rank?
I'm working on it.
It's all I care about.
I'm working on it, guys. The Prix Versailles is very...
The Prix Versailles.
Okay, number one. Yantai, China.
Never been.
Terminal 2, not Terminal 1.
The airport in Taiwan, by the way, incredible.
4, 5. Oh, we're 5th.
Hey, look at us.
5th.
Unts.
San Francisco unts. Terminal 1 is on the list.
Been there many a time, and I don't...
San Francisco airport, not impressive to me.
I don't remember being blown away.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot special.
Is it wrong that every time I think international airports usually are more impressive to me than the U.S. airports?
That is not wrong.
Go to Turkey. The damn Turkey airport, which is like the Istanbul, because it's like the midpoint for every flight going back and forth across the world.
Yeah.
Go to the damn Turkey airport sometime and get ready to be blown away. That thing's incredible. It's like the Mall of America.
Yeah, they got some really crazy shops in there. And stuff.
It's like buffets.
Yep.
A wildfire called the Burdoin Fire.
Well, either way, I'm happy we're 5th.
Yeah, we're 5th. I moved on.
Yeah, you moved. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
This Burdoin?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
Fire broke out Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
quickly has elicited a level 3 go now evacuation. Okay.
Awesome.
So this is on the Washington side of the gorge across from Hood River.
Yeah.
It's burning at 250 acres. It's a brush fire in the area of Highway 14, milepost 69, and Courtney Road. Ooh.
No good.
Does that mean I can't get to Elk Ridge?
That's a good question. I don't really...
Is Elk Ridge burning?
I'm not familiar with that... With that
it's a golf course up there.
Well, I know the golf course, but I don't go up there very much. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're saying State Route 14 is closed. Both directions, milepost 66 to milepost 74.
Yeah. Bummer.
Bummer, bro.
Bummer, man. That's a real bummer, man.
Level 3 go now means danger to your area is current or imminent, and you should leave immediately. Man, that's... dude, this sucks.
Yeah. No good.
Damn it. What else I have for you here?
Sound like, was it a week or two ago, they caught some idiot that had lit 3 brush fires, and like they, the influencers caught him. Yeah, some...
The influencers?
Yeah, some, I guess, I'm trying to remember, was it, might have been in California? Yeah, some dip-ass goes into the brush and lights 3 separate fires, and I guess there was a bunch of influencers that were up there like with their shirts off doing influencer, like, look at me, I'm hiking. And they confronted the guy, and he's like, got a blowtorch in his hand. He's like, what?
A blowtorch?
Yeah, he was like lighting brush on fire.
God.
And they held him and called the police, and the police showed up and arrested him. And they were able to put the fires out. And remember where that was at, but I saw the clip, and it's crazy to see. He's very nonchalant about it, too. It's like, dude, we just caught you lighting 3 fires. And he's like, mm-hmm.
I don't understand these people.
Well, who else? It was lighting fire.
Well, there's something off there.
Are they just like anarchists?
Not a lot to be understood.
Well, I think some people are pyromaniacs and like to.
What is So, if you're
obsessed,
with fire, I know. But what's that feeling? Is the feeling that setting the fire gets you off? Is the feeling that you burn a bunch down? Does that get you? Yeah. Like, what is it about being a pyromaniac?
The thrill or the rush of watching it spread once you've sparked it,
yeah, like, watching it burn and all that.
There's probably some level of, like, you feel powerful because the thing that you started has spread and taken over. I mean, it's odd and psychological.
But, I mean, I feel like if you're a pyromaniac, you can be a safe pyromaniac. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm with Buck. There's something off here. Well, it's not just pyromania.
Well, no, because my daughter loves fire. Like, she plays with all my cigar lighters, and she's always wanting to light fires in the fireplace or in the fire pit. I think it's the idea of watching it spread. It's the idea of, because you got to admit, sometimes if you ever watched a wildfire or watch a house burn down, it's mesmerizing. And I think that's the idea, is you're watching this living, breathing thing destroy everything in its path. I guess I understand on some basic...
Are you a pyromaniac?
No, I'm not. But I get why that would be... Like, if something is burning down, everyone will stop and watch it. So I you got a little cuckoo in you. I get why that is appealing.
Okay. I want to tell you about Ranger Taylor.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but
oh, you're gonna find out next.
Okay. Can't wait.
This is In the News, July 18, 2025, on The Fan.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
That's right. Don't try to take me to a disco.
Is there such a thing as a disco?
I won't be out there on the floor. What?
Is a disco now just like a rave? Like an EDM sort of thing?
Yeah, I guess it's probably been replaced with just like dance club.
Yeah.
Or club.
I wouldn't want to go either.
It'd be cool if they had an old school disco, you know?
Yeah, you dress up full on
70s. It'd be fun.
Problem with any of those things is everyone wants to do it once a year, and like I don't think you have enough demand night in and night out, but it should be fun. It'd be great.
By the way, we've got a text that says, unfortunately, the pyro thing is rooted in sexual fantasy.
Really?
Ooh. It's why almost all serial murder offenders have a history of starting fires. It's bizarre but true.
Well, so how does it connect? How does fire and sexual desire...
I don't know.
Above my pay grade, dude.
You know, one of us is a hero and caught an arsonist.
Thank you.
That's me.
About time I got credit for that.
I have an accommodation from the Vancouver Police Department.
What does that mean?
They gave me a good citizen award. I caught an arsonist.
Is that your neighbor?
No, the
center?
When I was in high school, a kid lit our high school on fire, and I caught him.
What do you mean you caught him?
So you're a narc?
Yeah, I am.
What does that mean? Why are we only just now hearing?
I swear I've told this story.
I don't know about that.
I was a senior in high school, and I went into the bathroom to take a leak, and I walked into the bathroom, and it was like the worst smell I had ever smelled in my entire life. But it wasn't really a bathroom smell, but it was awful. I thought, I was like, oh my God. And so I looked under the stall to see what was going on, and my man was in there facing the wrong way on the toilet, like he was peeing, and he had on Airwalk shoes that were tennis ball material, right?
Oh.
They stood out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
And so I said, oh my God, my guy, the hell are you doing in here? And he was like, leave me alone. And I was like, dude, it is so bad that I left the bathroom. And I walked down the hallway to a different bathroom. When I came back to the classroom, my teacher was like, why were you gone so long? Because I said I just had to go pee. And I was like, dude, someone's in the bathroom. And it's like, and she was like, that's enough. And I'm like, no, it is so bad. And then like 30 seconds later, smoke starts billowing out in the hallway. Mm. They pull the fire alarm and... the bathroom, someone lit the bathroom on fire. So we all had to run outside because it was a legit fire. And so they put us all out on the football field. And the fire department comes and a whole thing. And my teacher goes, what did you see? And I was like, I don't know, but it smelled horrific. And the dude's wearing tennis ball shoes. And she's like, what? And I'm like, he's wearing tennis ball shoes. So the police showed up. The fire department showed up. And me and the police department guy, we walked all around the football field until I found the dude, and they were like tennis ball shoes. And I said, they look like tennis balls. So we found them, and I was like, that was them. They searched the guy's locker, and they found a bunch of chemicals and fire starting materials. And he had gone into the bathroom and lit the school on fire. And it turns out he had lit a couple other things on fire that they found out and then he admitted to, and so they caught an arsonist.
You're a hero and a grade A snitch.
Yes. And so like a week later, I got a little certificate from the Vancouver fire or whatever that was like something like the good citizen whatever, and you know.
Does that make you feel good?
Did they put your picture in the paper?
No.
No write-up? No story? No quotes?
No write-up, no story.
Local boy saves the day.
How old were you, son?
I think it was a senior. It was a junior or senior in high school. But here's my thing. If you are going to be an arsonist, don't wear dumb shoes that we can all clearly, and so you know, that we can see. Yeah, whatever chemical reaction he was making in the toilet was just awful. It was like a bleach bomb or whatever you do, like ammonia and I don't know.
Yeah, he was like making an accelerant.
Yeah.
If he were wearing regular shoes, do you think you still could have... like, could have caught him because...
No, because I don't think I would have noticed the shoes.
But you were looking under the stall, right?
Well, when you walk in, and I'm telling you, it, like, made my eyes water, and it didn't smell like poo. It was something different. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I just naturally was like, who else is in here? And all I did was glance. It wasn't like I like, got down. I just kind of glanced under the stall, and it was a two-second look. If he had been wearing just plain... Airwalker Nikes, I would have not been able to pick those out. But when you're wearing tennis ball shoes, you're like, oh my God, tennis ball shoes.
What an idiot.
Yeah. And I guess, like I said, he had lit a couple other buildings. I guess they had had a string of these. He was lighting schools on fire. And he never burned like one of them down, but he had lit several fires. And I don't ever know what happened to him. I don't even remember the kid's name, but...
But you still have your award.
And you still remember those shoes.
Yeah. All these years later.
I remember those Airwalks.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, too. I was always a little afraid that he was going to, like, find out it was me that ratted on me and then, like, burn my house
down.
I was like, ugh. I was a little hesitant. You know, I thought about the whole snitches get stitches thing, but He did try.
You did the right thing.
Well, he tried to burn down the school.
Yeah.
And my room was right across the hallway. What if that thing had, like, exploded? Son of a bitch.
Yeah, what if? Well, now we don't have time to tell you about Ranger Taylor.
Sorry.
How are you?
Satsuka's a hero, a snitch, and a peeping Tom. Well, yeah, I guess those are all...
A complex figure.
Those are all true. I did look under the stall. Yeah.
Well, I'll keep it in the notes, but there's a guy named Ranger Taylor who is in charge of ushering you into the waters of Lake Oswego.
It's just one person's job?
One guy? Is he like a third base coach?
Yeah, kind of.
I'm guessing he's doing a lot of hold up. We're waiting at third. We're not sending you home.
And they won't allow him to talk to the media.
I don't like this at all.
So strange things are afoot in Lake Oswego with Ranger Taylor.
God, I hope he's wearing like a sailor's hat. I hope he's wearing a full on like marine outfit, just being the most pretentious ass he can be.
Well, maybe he's really nice.
Really?
We don't know.
When's the last time you saw someone that was in charge of something like that? Like, access to something hoity-toity that was
He's cool. A ranger? I feel like rangers are pretty good-natured generally.
Yeah.
Is he a ranger?
He's a Lake Oswego ranger.
He's a Lake Oswego ranger.
Well, we're going to learn about that next week. Okay. That's in the news July 18, 2025. Brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. We have the biggest spenders in college football. And what are the all-time great athlete endorsement fits? Because we have a new one coming up on The Fan.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.